Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to give you two different sides on what's going to take place with the upcoming special session. We'll focus today on the House. Kurt Dowd, the minority leader, is going to join at 2:05. Right now, majority leader Ryan Winkler is nice enough to join us. He is on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming on. I know Paul Gazelka was on earlier on the station and talked somewhat optimistically about the dialogue right now, in particular on bonding. So let's start there first. Do you think a deal is still in place on a bonding bill when the special session begins next week?
A deal on a bonding bill is within reach for next week. We've been working at negotiating it for a long time, but there have been so many big issues up in the air that it's been hard to land any one of them without more of them coming together. So Republicans would like some tax cuts as part of a bonding package. We're very much focused on trying to get resources to the small businesses on Lake Street in the Midway to help them survive the civil unrest. And we've got police reform, bills that we're trying to negotiate. So there's still a lot up in the air and a lot of really important issues for a lot of people. And so I think progress is happening, but it's a very unusual and almost unprecedented year for us to try to negotiate between two parties and two chambers and make this all come together.
So I want to cite Senator Gazelka one last time, and then we'll zero in on this. When I had him on 2 days after the session, he was respectful of Speaker Hortman. He said he thought she was very professional, but he blamed the governor. He said the governor prevented a bonding bill from getting done. Did the governor do that? And right now, is the governor an asset or a detriment on a bonding bill getting done?
That's just absolutely untrue. It's been pretty publicly reported and widely known that the Republican leader in the House has said that the peacetime emergency on COVID needs to end before we can get a bonding bill done. And it's Representative Dowd who's taken that position, and we need votes from House Republicans in order to pass a bonding bill. The governor has been engaged. He's been talking with Representative Dowd about ways to address his concerns about emergency powers. But fundamentally, we have a global pandemic. We need to be able to respond. This is obviously the biggest issue for the most people right now, and we need to have the tools in place to do it. And I really think the public is tired and frustrated with this kind of legislative back and forth and who did what and who didn't. The bottom line is we have a job to do, and we have every opportunity to come together and get it done. And I just think there's no reason why we can't compromise and find a path out of this.
Okay, let's talk about the area that was devastated after the death of George Floyd and what the proper amount of money is. I know the House did pass a bill in the first special session. How locked in are you on that specific bill? How much negotiating are you willing to do to get the Senate to agree on that bill?
Yeah, we've been negotiating hard all this week to get the bill to a point where Republicans can support it. And we've been very encouraged by the involvement of House Republicans. They've been engaged. They see the need. They've been to the neighborhood. They've looked into the eyes of people whose whole lives have been destroyed with their small business or at Mercado Central or any of the many places in St. Paul and Minneapolis. So they have been engaged. Senate Democrats have been engaged. We're working to get Senate Republicans a little bit more engaged, but we're really pushing hard to get a package that can move next week. And we don't have the luxury of wanting a perfect bill. These people are in desperate need of funds, and we need to get the money out the door. They did nothing wrong. These people risked their lives and their safety and health in order to defend their community, to protect assets and their businesses, community institutions. We cannot leave them holding the bag when this is over with.
How much money are you willing to accept? And if I'm a business owner in that area, and my business was slightly damaged or was decimated, how soon would I get that money?
So we've proposed two different funds. One would provide some immediate grants based on kind of traditional economic development work that we do. And the other is something that we call a community repair panel, where basically people could apply for funds based on their individual circumstances, getting the first fund out the door right away, because we've done it in the past, and then have a few months for several months before for people to make application for the second fund. So far, we're not finding agreement on those two things, but we don't know the correct dollar amount. There's a accuracy and speed or intention with each other on this. So if we want to help save these businesses, it has to happen now, and we'll have to do a kind of a rolling review of the funds expended to make sure that they're being used properly, but also to make sure that they're actually meeting the need. So we need a starting point. It's, you know, the Senate, I think, has suggested a couple $100 million. We had $300, you know, somewhere in that range, we think will help stabilize these communities and allow people to recover.
House Majority Leader Democrat Ryan Winkler with us right now, as I said before. Minority Leader and Republican Kurt Dowd at about 206. Is there any scenario when you're negotiating all of these issues where the House Democrats would say, we've reached a different point with COVID-19 in this state, and we don't believe that the peacetime emergency order should be extended for the governor?
I mean, will we reach that point, or could there? Yes. The problem with
Could you reach it in this special session?
No, there is no way that we feel confident at this point that we know the course of this disease, and we want to take away the ability of the administration to act quickly and address the crisis. You know, whether it's procurement, whether it's addressing things that are going on in nursing homes or testing, there's so much the state needs to be able to do quickly, and it's a part-time legislature. The legislative process is designed to be slow, to get a lot of input, and for something like a disease moving through our state, fast action by the executive is necessary. So I don't think we are anywhere close to that point.
Police reform. The Republicans stated a number of times that Democrats had offered 22 proposals, and they stated they met you halfway. I know many Democrats didn't agree with how they came up with the 11. When you've talked about progress, have you made progress in some of these other areas when there was a difference? As an example, I know Senator Jeff Hayden just a couple of days ago felt like very little progress had taken place.
You know, we have been in ongoing discussions, not just with Senate Republicans, but we've engaged the Minnesota Business Partnership. We've engaged the Minnesota Peace and Police Officers, the county attorneys, the whole law enforcement community. And frankly, there is a lot of agreement on work that we can do now to provide for police accountability. And we're kind of dragging Senate Republicans along, but they seem to be moving a bit. And so it isn't, you know, a question of positioning on number of proposals. What's in the proposals is vitally important. And we are having a lot of good substantive discussions. And frankly, I don't think there's much that's controversial in what we have put forward. It's far-reaching. It brings accountability for bad actors. It provides better training and preventing some of the warrior training and chokeholds that obviously were involved in the murder of George Floyd. And so we think that this is reasonable. We have a pretty broad coalition of groups who are working with us on it, and I think Senate Republicans will come along. I don't know if it can happen by early next week, but that's what we were pushing for.
Senate Republicans, Gizelk and others, continue to cite defund the police and saying they're adamantly against that. Then I hear Democrats say there's nothing related to defund the police in any of the bills from St. Paul, from the Capitol. It's very different from what's going on with the Minneapolis City Council. Can you affirm, can you continue to tell Paul Gizelka that Democrats, maybe yourself included, believe philosophically in defund the police, but that's not a policy position or that's not a funding mechanism which is going to take place out of one of the bills?
100%. There has never been and is not anything about defunding or dismantling any police department in the House bills that we have passed. And the fact that we are even discussing it is just because Republicans know that that is a potentially potent political or electoral issue, and they want to have it in the conversation. They are the ones who are bringing that into the legislative and state-level response. Obviously, the city of Minneapolis is engaged in a process of review and reform and looking at what their community looks like. They are far from having even any kind of a proposal or plan themselves. So I think it's hot rhetoric designed to get attention and really takes away from the necessary work on accountability and reform that is at the heart of what we need to do.
Is it a lie?
It is misleading to say, to talk about defund the police in the legislative bill that we put forward. That just doesn't exist there.
Ryan, thanks for your time. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.